City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9. Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
This is a man's world. But it would be nothing.
I wish you hadn't mentioned that bottle of wine you had last night, because now I'm sitting here and the only thing I've got, that mental image, that picture I have is kind of like, and that kind of... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It is Bloke Talk, and it's the weekend. And it's City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool. Now, Laura is here. Hello.
Hello.
Looking very stripy today.
Yeah.
Nice. Toby's not here. Where's Toby, do we know?
Just could be bothered, I think.
Could he not be bothered? Did he cop a strop after last week?
I think so.
Because
over
the past few weeks, Toby's been bleating on. It has been bleating, actually.
Yeah,
he's a bit of a girl, isn't he? In many ways.
He's bullying, hasn't he?
I mean, bullying me. And of course, in his world, bullying actually means if someone disagrees with him, he can't deal with it. So he kicks off about it. So I don't know where he is, but we have instead to replace Toby, and a worthwhile replacement is Paul Jacobs, who you can hear on City Talk 105.9 in the afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Good evening.
You're right.
How are you?
Thank you for stepping into the breach.
Ooh, I like that word, breach.
I thought you might. So we're here for the next 60 minutes talking about stuff here on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9, and loads of stuff we could talk about. I need some advice this week, and Paul is a slightly older man than me, so I'm going to look to him for some advice. And you want to talk about what? Men being in touch with their feminine side?
That's just something I thought up.
Can we talk about Toby for a second?
Do we have to?
Well, no, only because I was listening to Bloke Talk last weekend. I don't make a habit of listening to the radio shows that I'm part of, but I was listening to it while I was cooking something on Saturday evening. I say cooking, griddling a steak, because that's what real men do.
Yeah.
You hack a bit off the cow. You got your griddle pan going, it's smoking. You chunk of beef on there. A couple of minutes each side. Job's a good one.
How'd you like it?
Rare.
Hey, me too.
Yeah,
mate.
Just wipe its bottom, take its horns off, and bring it to the table. So I was doing that, and I was listening to Toby. And do you know what? Is he a hypochondriac?
He is known as being quite an ill person.
I have this vision of Toby when he was a boy. Do you remember the Peanuts comic strip?
Yes.
Was it Linus who used to walk around with that little blanket?
Toby's blankie. What would Toby's blankie look like? See, I think it would be pink and yellow.
Yeah, checks.
It's going to have pink or yellow in it, if not both. Do you know what I mean? Can you relate to that? I bet he used to walk around.
Well, he's quite immature in some ways, isn't he?
Blankie. And I was listening to him. He was bleating on about how he's not feeling well. And I saw his girlfriend during the week, who we outed last week, didn't we? Well, we didn't out her.
Really?
Well, she's been known as Pee-Pee.
My studio manager.
Yeah, she's been known as Pee-Pee for God knows how long.
Oh, really?
And I can't even remember why. It's because he didn't want her named or something.
He didn't want her named.
Then it came out that it was Polly. So everyone knows that, you know, the Pee-Pee is in fact Polly. And that was kind of like broadcast. And I bumped into her during the week, and I said, how's Toby? And she went, oh, don't ask, it's pathetic. And you get the impression, well, because all these guys are cold.
No, because she's quite hard. She's well-hard, isn't she?
Yeah, she is well-hard.
She
yeah.
doesn't take any business messing around. Yeah. And I actually thought when I first heard they went out, and when she came on my show the first time, I thought, this is chalk and cheese, you know? This is blackboard chalk, and it's a very strong Shropshire blue.
Yeah.
And we know which way around we're talking here, don't we, to be honest with you? And you wouldn't put a bit of chalk inside a big slab of Shropshire blue, would you?
No.
Because it would ruin it completely.
Who's got the blue veins in this relationship, then? I'm getting confused.
I don't know. It's for you to work out.
Nice stinky
I think
Shropshire
Toby's
blue.
A piece of soft cheese, isn't he, here?
Yeah.
I don't know, because Shropshire Blue is the king of all cheeses, so I think that there's a disservice to the Shropshire Blue.
No, you got that wrong. No, it's not a Shropshire Blue that's the king of all cheeses.
What's the king of?
A stinking bishop.
Oh, stinking bishop.
Have you ever had stinking bishop?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, there's some stinking people in this building.
Go on.
Believe you me.
Who's
stinking? As the weather's warmed up in the last month or so, I'm sorry, one of the biggest things you've got to have as a human being is you've got to smell good, all right?
Yeah, it's not
like you, Jake.
Well, I tell you what, I put a premium. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yeah.
When I was living in London, right? And I first came up from London. I did my BEd to become a PE teacher in Brighton, came up to London, I didn't know many people.
You did your B-head?
B-head.
Oh, B-head.
B-head.
Right. Bachelor of Education.
You can go on imagining, you know, if it makes you feel
I've been to Brighton. I know what happens there.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. God, great place. Anyway, so, and so, you know, I was introduced to a few people.
Did you ever go to Duke's Mound?
I did, yes.
Do you know what happens to Duke's Mound?
I do, yes.
Do you know what you've just admitted?
No, I know exactly what. But not what you think, yeah. Well, it was just that sort of curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
Are you going to let me in on this?
Is it
something that can't really be broadcast?
Well, yeah. It's a south-north divide. Mm. We don't need to talk about it.
Muddy trenches.
So I've come up to London, and I've introduced a few people. I took this girl out. Absolutely stunning.
What was her name?
Stunning. Denise, right? Love it.
Denise.
Blonde.
I used to have a crush on a girl at school called
5 foot six. Beautiful shape.
Yeah.
That sort of, you know, the curvature was there.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. She smelt absolutely sensational.
What did she smell of?
The whole point is she didn't.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
But did she smell fresh?
No, I'd only seen her from afar.
A lemony zest?
No, I'd seen her from afar. No, okay. No. I saw her from afar. And I said to a friend of mine, my cousin, I said, is there any chance you'd introduce me? And she said, no. She said, but I can get a phone number for you.
Beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
So the first time I made communication was down the telephone line.
Nice.
So I said, will you meet her? She goes, pick me up from Totteridge Station.
Totteridge?
The poshest part of London.
Yeah. What were you doing there?
I don't know.
Hanging around?
I can't remember that far. So I go up in the car and I'm waiting outside Totteridge Station, a little bit nervous, you know, sweating slightly, wipe of the brow, you know.
Oh, mate.
Just moving my clothes around, a little bit more aftershave under the armpit. Yeah. You know.
Can I ask you a question? Because this would have been like your first proper date, wouldn't it?
In London, yeah.
Yeah. When you get groomed for that, do you kind of, because the aftershave, as men, we don't always put it kind of like on our necks, do we?
Oh, I do.
Well, we put it elsewhere, don't we?
No, I don't put it
Men
there.
I know, they put it on their chest.
No, that doesn't go there.
One man I know sometimes gives it a quick, if it's the old spray, just in case he gets lucky.
Down his pants?
Yeah.
That's not you, is it?
Then that's not the natural smell that women adore, is it, Laura?
Well, I have to say, speaking of smells, Paul Jacobs smells very nice. I mentioned it in the office today.
Well, we'll talk about your grooming habits in a second. Yeah. Where do we get to on this story of yours?
So
you went to
Totteridge Railway Station, waiting outside of my car. And so she comes, opens the door, sits down, and we start talking in the car.
Yeah.
And I think one of the great indicators of whether you're going to get with someone, whether it's pheromones or what they put on, which is not natural stuff, perfume, is a smell.
Yeah.
You sense it, don't you, straight away?
Yeah. Mm.
And I'm sniffing and I'm sniffing. There's something not right here. I'm sniffing. Anyway, not only did she not smell good, I said there, and, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you want it? What's your surname? I asked her, what did you do for a living? What's your surname? And she goes, you don't need to know that. Well, I said, if we're going to get on for this evening, you know, if we're going to get on, girl, and we're going to have a drink and we're going to loosen the load here, you've got to tell me a bit about you. Anyway, she goes, I don't need to tell you. And she gets a little bit uppity with me.
Yeah.
So she's getting uppity. She don't smell good.
No.
The vibes aren't right.
Yeah.
And anyway, we've got about 100 yards in the car and she doesn't want to know. She doesn't want to loosen the load here.
Right.
So I've said, you know, listen.
You stop using that.
If we're not.
No, it's a fact. There's no double entendre. And I said to her, you know, listen, if we're not going to tell me a bit more about you, there's no use us going on this
take
any longer.
Yeah.
And she said, okay, drop me back at the station.
Was that it?
So I turned the car around and I said, listen, let me take you home first. It's dark night. I'll take you. She goes, no, I don't need to know my address. So I dropped her back at the station.
Sounds like you might have been a bit full on here, Jakes.
No, I wasn't.
Just firing questions at her. What's
can I just say
surname?
I'm very courteous when I have a date. I'm very courteous.
Yeah. You do the right thing. You're a gentleman, yeah. I can see that. But it all went wrong from the moment you got in the car and the whiff wasn't good.
Well, as soon as the whiff wasn't good, it didn't, you know, make certain parts of my body feel good about it.
You see, it is. You make some interesting points there because people do let themselves down when it comes to personal hygiene. Here at the City Radio Tower, where City Talk 105.9 lives.
You know about it.
At the top of the tower at the moment. There are people here who smell. And I've...
Yeah, they tend
to be... They are, aren't they?
It's not me, is it? Well, don't you mean? Stop sniffing me!
There are four of us in this studio, though, as well. So you know straight
away,
wouldn't
it? But I'll tell you what it tends to be, because we have a lot of people who come and work here for nothing, so they can put it on their CV. Mm. It tends to be them. Mm. It tends to be those students, those musty-scented students who roll up. But I think that's... Isn't that cool to be kind of like in your early 20s and not wash?
It's awful.
Well, no, it's awful,
no,
isn't
I
it
don't
cool?
think there's anything cool about not washing.
That's where I reckon the whiff comes from. Who were you thinking of?
I don't think we can name names.
No. Anyway, what's this? What are you wearing today? That's
attract me.
I put a little bit. It's now defunct aftershave called M7. A little bit spicy.
Named after the motorway?
Bit of sweetness on the side. Yeah. It's rough and
How do you discover your aftershaves? Do you actually want it? Because you buy these magazines, they have those little samples, so you can kind of like.
Well, Duncan, you must know this. You put an aftershave on, and in certain skin types, it lasts a bit longer, doesn't it? It differs from man to man.
Yeah, but how do you choose yours?
I've had most of my aftershaves bought for me by previous ladies in my life.
Yeah, that's a good judge, isn't it?
And they like it, listen, if it turns them on and does them a bit of good, then I wear it all the time.
Do you want to know where I get my scent from?
Well, you're just natural, aren't you?
No. I wear an aftershave that someone bought for me and as a joke because they thought I'd be kind of quite offended by it, and I loved it. There's this manufacturer, this company based in London called Trumper.
Right, so what does that smell of?
And Trumper, and a friend of mine, a female friend, about 3 years ago, bought me this little glass bottle of Trumper aftershave, Trumper cologne. And I thought, I know nothing about Trumper, though I like the name, quite like the name Trumper. So I looked them up on the internet, I googled Trumper, and it's a kind of a gentleman's outfitters, and they sell shaving brushes.
Oh, dear.
Okay, they got into trouble because they used to use Badger. It's a very long thing. And anyway, I tried this on, and I thought, I quite like this. And people were quite complimentary about it. So now, the only aftershave I wear, and I'm not wearing any today, is Trumper.
That's the only, it's not called Thumper.
No, it's Trumper.
That's very Duncan Barks. Trumper.
Very masculine.
And if I'm feeling that I'm going out somewhere nice and I want to impress someone or I want to feel good about myself, I'm going out for a nice meal, I think I might, I'll get a bit of I'll get the Trumper out.
You wear it every day?
No.
Duncan Barks is the Thor of broadcasters.
The what?
Thor. Do you remember Thor? Do you remember him?
Vaguely,
Thor,
yeah.
Very masculine He-Man. Yeah. And that's why he wears...
Trumper.
Trumper.
Yeah, so I like that. I like... What do you like when it comes to aftershave?
Like sweet or
do you
spicy?
Buy for Dave?
No.
Does Dave buy for himself? Was he a bit
smelly? I have no idea. I don't take an interest in it at all.
Would you not smell him when you're up close and personal?
Well, he's got different ones, I think. I don't know.
Doesn't wear Lynx, does he?
I think so, yeah.
Does he wear denim?
He's quite young in that sense.
Have you seen those Lynx adverts at the moment? Because the thing is, you can be beanpole thin. You can have loads of acne. Mm. You could have fallen out of the ugly tree and hit all of the branches on the way down and be even more ugly than when you fell out of the tree. You cannot be an oil painting. You cannot be a pretty sight. But don't worry, fellas. A bit of Lynx under each arm and that'll be it. They'll be queuing up. And apparently, when you start wearing Lynx, you go down the supermarket, start doing your shopping, and all of these women are walking around in bikinis. I noticed that on the telly last night. Have you seen that advert?
Yeah, but all those women in those bikinis, they're like stick insects, aren't they?
They're not real.
Do you not like them?
No, they're drain pipes. Yeah. I'm not going out with a drain pipe. No. I've never been out with a drain pipe. I've never been out with a woman who's larger than size 16. And I've never been out with a drain pipe. I've got to have a consistency in between.
Yeah.
Now, isn't it funny? Now, tell me this, Duncan. Actually, Laura, from the woman's perspective as well, when you see a man, you cop eyes on a man. Duncan, you cop eyes on a woman before you're married to your beautiful, lovely wife.
Yeah.
You surmise straight away the look, the smell, the... Straight away, don't you?
Make a judgment, don't you?
I had never been out with a brunette in my life until a year and a half ago. Every woman had been a blonde.
Yeah.
Why was that?
Would you go back to the blondes that you hooked on brunettes?
Well, if they were the right type, absolutely. But the lady I've got now, God bless her, Nanette, perfect.
You see, I once, in my dim and distant past, I once had a very brief fling with a red-headed lady.
Older or
Kate.
Younger?
Couple of years older.
Older?
Yeah.
Is that the only older you've been out with?
No, his wife's older.
Oh, really?
And that fling with Kate is etched upon my memory. She was a flame-haired temptress.
But she was never a long-term contract.
Delicious use of language, a long-term contract. And what I'm going to take away from Bloke Talk this week is you saying I've never been out with a beanpole.
A drain pipe.
Well,
the train pipe said.
That's great.
I'll buy a bamboo shoot and go to bed with it if I want to.
We need to go away and come back. You want to still talk about your feminine thing, don't you?
No, I'm not bothered.
No, I think you need to. Also, I've got some stuff here about school reunions. Ever been to a school reunion?
No.
I've got the definitive guide on how to score at your high school reunion.
No, see, that would interest me.
Well, I'll do that for you alone. And also, we'll look at our multimedia outlets in the term of Twitter, Facebook, Bebo and MySpace, of which Bloke Talk is on all of them. And we've had a little missive from Hong Kong.
Ooh.
From one of our Facebook people who lives in Hong Kong.
Tremendous.
On the Pacific Rim. So we'll come back in a few moments' time. It's Bloke Talk on the Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks, City Talk 105.9.
So it's a slightly different Bloke Talk compared to normal weeks, well, as normal as it gets on Bloke Talk. I'm here, which is just as well, because I'm Duncan. Laura's here, which is just as well, because we need a female perspective on everything.
We certainly do tonight.
Toby is away, sucking his thumb on his blanket. So in his place, we have Paul Jacobs. And we're doing bloke talky stuff. And so far, we've learned that Paul would never go out of a drainpipe or a beanpole.
Can I ask you, Laura, a question quickly?
Yeah, go on.
Intervene here. We were going to talk about something else.
Yeah, we can.
Right. But it's just come into my mind, actually. I bought my girlfriend some underwear for Christmas.
Right.
And I went into the lingerie shop down Liverpool One Way.
Yeah.
Great, you know, I love being in there. And all the blokes are walking around with their—they're all walking around with their heads bowed in the shop. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
right?
I bet you're jumping around like Tigger.
I was like, touching
but look at this, love. I don't know if that's big enough.
I'm touching all the goods because I'm going to buy them. I have a right to do so.
Oh, I can imagine you with your sweaty paws.
How many times have you been escorted out of that shop?
None at all. I tell you, the ladies behind the desk were a little bit lush as well. I have to say,
were they?
But they were very helpful. Did you know there's the lingerie shop in London where they actually have models try it on for you?
Really?
They walk around the shop, yeah.
Where's that, then?
Petticoat Lane.
We talked about this a few weeks ago when Laura wasn't here and we had Claire Morrow stepping into Laura's shoes on Bloke Talk. And it was quite interesting because she was talking about underwear nightmares because Claire's about to get married. Mm. And she was saying in previous relationships, you know, men have made the mistake of trying to buy her underwear and got it so wrong because men get it wrong so many
times.
You've
got to get the size right for starters.
That's what she was saying.
It's a minefield, isn't it?
So as your boyfriend, has he bought for you before? And is it something that you like having bought for you?
No, not my current boyfriend. I don't think he ever has. Not as a surprise.
Is he listening
maybe
now?
Maybe with me being there. No, he won't be listening.
Well, can you make him listen?
No, he never listens.
No, he doesn't listen.
Never listens to me.
Does... Well, if does
can you make him listen?
No.
He lives in London,
this is a serious point for Bloke Talk. I have to say this. If you put on some sexy underwear...
Right.
Would you do it for your bloke or for you?
First
and foremost.
Probably for... What do you mean, if I was doing...
Well, no,
come on, most
this is
women.
A straightforward question.
It's a straightforward question, but most women are just quite happy in a baggy old pair of pants, aren't they?
No, but when you put some...
I like wearing big pants.
Oh, stop it. When you put on some sexy underwear, does it make you feel, okay, sensually... Gives you gratification, makes you feel confident. This is what I'm not. Does it?
Oh my God.
And before you consider how your man's going to react to it, does it make you feel? Sexy. Does it make you feel sexy?
When I buy new underwear, because I'm not sure how sexy my underwear is, it does make me feel good.
Right, because
it's not falling apart.
Okay, because when I bought
the wires sticking out, and...
when I bought this underwear for my girlfriend, I did it for me.
Yeah, was she with you?
No.
Of course she did it for you. You're a man.
Of course.
What did you buy?
I bought a lovely set of just undergarments, panties, and the bra.
Yeah.
What colour were they?
It was black with a silver stripe going through it.
Like a faster stripe on the side of a car.
It didn't make me go any faster. With a little bit.
Well, I don't know. It made me put my foot down, but.
Oh my God!
We know about your overdrive and. Yeah, a little bit of rose on the side of the briefs, and it was very, very tasteful.
And when was it a special occasion or did you just it was a random gift?
Christmas.
That's nice.
Can I ask you, Paul? Did you know what size she was?
Absolutely.
Already? Had you looked in her drawer?
I'd asked her. What
size
are
you? Asked her straight out.
But she changed sizes since we've been going out.
She's got bigger, has she?
Well, it happens, doesn't it? As you know.
Well, yeah.
When you start a relationship, a woman's breasts get bigger. It's a fact.
It's not a fact.
It is a fact.
It's not a fact.
I thought you meant that she put on weight.
Come on this radio show and go, it is a fact.
It's been proven.
No, who by?
It's been proven in tests before. It's been proven. I'm telling you.
Did you hear that this week about M&S charging more for bigger bras?
I did. My wife's kicking off about it.
Yeah, I think it's terrible.
How much?
She made the point, didn't they? MS.
There's more material.
Didn't they have an advertising slogan? There's more M&S or something.
Oh, really?
Mm. Yeah. Because it looks like now you have to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting.
I think that's terrible, that. You know, you can't help what size you are and what size you're endowed with chest-wise.
Has your size changed over the years?
Well, yes, it has changed over the
years.
Now,
has it happened when you've been in a relationship or out of a relationship?
That's your theory, Jacobs.
I'm trying to get my theory recognised.
You're trying to get it validated because you know you're on really shaky ground.
Your theory is very stupid.
So you're of a minority that obviously didn't apply to?
Well, I think it's interesting about this M&S thing.
I've never heard that before. Really have, no. I don't think it's true.
It's based around the fact, isn't it, that they need to use more people and more material to make bigger bras.
Mm. Yeah,
so therefore they're charging £2 more. And the thing is, I'm wondering, if we went to M&S around the corner from here, went in there and had a look at a small cardigan for a man, and then looked at the XXL size cardigan for a man.
Same price.
I wonder what the price would be, and my gut would tell me it's probably the same. So how can they get away with charging more for bigger bras? Mm.
It's not fair, is it? Especially because with your weight, it is something that to an extent you can control. But with your breast size, you might just naturally be endowed with those big
I'm telling you
bazookas.
I'm going to look this up. When you finish this radio show, I'm going to Google this. I don't think it's a fact.
You're going to be surprised, Duncan Barr.
Should we have a look at some of our Facebook, Twitter, Bebo and the other thing? What's in Dubree that Bloke Talk exists on? Paul, you won't know about this. Jonathan, who's our mute producer, because he never says anything, so he's mute. Mm. He's put Bloke Talk on Facebook, Bebo, which I know nothing about. Mm.
Twitter. And MySpace.
And we occasionally get little missives, because we have people listening around the world to Bloke Talk, including Adrian Richardson in Hong Kong.
Well, is that the same guy that sent us the postcard?
On the Pacific Rim. Yeah.
Oh, have
you been there before, HK?
No, I want to have you.
Yeah, stopped off for an hour and a half on the way to Australia.
Most people have, haven't they? It's just kind of like, oh, and where did you go?
The airport.
I went to this bar in the airport, that was it.
But you've been to Hong Kong, you can say that with your head held high. Adrian Richardson says, let me just skim this. Oh, this is quite interesting. God, sounded really patronising, didn't it? Oh, Adrian, what have you sent me? Oh, it's quite interesting.
Well done, Adrian.
Sound like Dean Sullivan. You know the way blokes egg each other on when it comes to some form of competition? In brackets, like a beer-drinking contest, pulling moonies or eating the hottest curry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we've done that. Have you drunk beer?
Yeah, we've been there.
Moonies?
Done three or four, yeah.
My mate Leg, so-called because his surname's Legat, my mate Leg used to be involved in a basketball team. He used to do all the emceeing for a team called the, they're called the Brighton Bears.
The Bears, yeah.
Yeah, and he also did some stuff for the Worthing Thunder. And they used to drive around on a Saturday going to the various gigs. He used to do the MC. He used to be there with a microphone. He used to go, oh, big it up for the Brighton Bears. And he used to like his ale. And always on the way back, he used to try and pull a Mooney on the motorway.
Oh, do you know what? That's just the most disgusting, pointless thing.
Yeah, it is a bit trivial.
I hate it when guys do stuff like that. I think, grow up.
Well, I've never done it. I was just bringing in some colour off the back of Adrian's Facebook message. Eating the hottest curry, being there, done that. Yeah. We did that at Saddam's.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, you and I stood the test of time, didn't we?
Mm.
We were there, going for the hottest curry.
What was the hottest curry?
Can't remember. It was this little bowl, wasn't it?
Yeah, he made some curries for us that were totally off the menu.
Yeah,
hottest curries you can ever taste.
Yeah. Mm. And we just nonchalantly got our naan bread, chucked it in the mouth.
Does hot food, as well as hot weather, get you excited?
No.
No.
Explain, elaborate. No.
Because a lot of women I've spoken to say...
Oh, the mind of Paul Jacobs is a murky place, isn't it?
You brought up heat tonight.
Hot, and this is bloke talk,
yeah,
right?
It's fine.
Bloke talk.
Yeah.
Is a lot of women I've been out with, and they've been in under the hot sun, wherever they've been.
Get a bit frisky.
They get there.
Yeah. What, and then go out for a curry?
I think it's a very pertinent point. Oh, but I'm just thinking, as it does for women, hot weather, does it do it for men when you have a hot curry?
Well, it's supposed to cool you down, isn't it? Hot curry, hot
supposed
food.
To open up your
valves, it's supposed to be that. You know, that's the whole point. It's why in countries like India and Thailand, that's, you know, a lot of curry is eaten because it's supposed to cool your body down. It actually, your system cools itself off. That's why it happens.
Yeah, right.
Now, that is a fact.
What do you mean, that is a fact?
What?
Suggesting what?
I'm just suggesting it's a second fact.
It's a second fact in the programme.
The second fact of the night.
Yeah. Shall I continue with Adrian Richardson's little
before,
missive?
Before it kicks off, carry on.
Imagine what I have to go through here in Hong Kong, in the food and drink department, eating out with the boys.
It's a hard life, isn't it?
Already I found myself being dared to eat something I previously thought was a bit sick.
Oh, go on.
Guess what comes next?
Go on.
My first dare... dare you. My first dare was plum-flavoured turtle soup.
That sounds all right,
all right, isn't it?
I think that sounds nice.
We've been to that Chinese place in Chinatown, haven't we? That was good.
We didn't have turtle soup.
No, we had karaoke. Yeah.
We certainly did.
My first dare was plum-flavoured turtle soup, which, although sounded bad, was okay, but with a weird turtly aftertaste. Funny that.
Turtly aftertaste?
But then how would he know it was a turtly aftertaste?
He's been licking the stomachs of turtles, turning them upside down before he went there.
I like turtle.
Do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's the shampoo you use on cars, isn't it?
Yeah.
He goes on to say, I ate pigeon last week. I've had pigeon.
Oh.
I like pigeon. Oh, yeah, pigeon.
Oh, that just makes me think of...
braised pigeon and cabbage.
Horrible beautiful pigeons walking around Williamson Square.
Yeah, me too.
I ate pigeon last week, which isn't too bad, but then when you think about the ones that limp around Liverpool, it does kind of put you off.
Exactly. Mm.
Have they got... can pigeons get myxomatosis, like rabbits?
I think that's a rabbit's disease.
Is it? Because the pigeons downstairs are all really manky, aren't they? They're horrible.
Oh, they're
because
really
I see these rabbits sometimes hopping around roundabouts, and you think, yeah, you haven't got long for this world. You've got myxomatosis. The pigeons
downstairs.
I think
it's those pigeons' diet that's the problem, because they just live off scraps of Greg's pasty. Not that there's anything wrong with Greg's pasty.
I'm a sayer's man myself.
It's like asking, can a worm get rabies?
Well, I was just curious.
I think that maybe it's a different disease.
So far, this is the limit of my culinary adventure out here, but I know there is much worse to come. Do birds do crazy dares like blokes?
No.
Fallacy. The females, everything pure white and driven snow and transparent. What a load of rubbish. You lot, you see, you still want to hold the higher ground morally, but you can't anymore, because you can dip just as low as us, like a gold mine in South Africa.
Right, go on. What's your facts to back up this?
Well, we'll start, with booze. Story out this week about women, you know, how often they get drunk during a week, how many measures of alcohol they have.
You're catching us up the
Richter drunken scale quicker than, what's his name, Usain Bolt can run 100 metres.
Well, what he was asking is whether we do crazy dares, and I think that's more the kind of thing that blokes do, because women can't be bothered with dares. They're stupid.
No, I don't believe it.
Men are so much more competitive. That's why they make everything into a dare and a competition.
Not as much as 20 years ago. I reckon now you are catching us up big time. Don't you start...
Hang on, what are you saying?
You put us on a pedestal. You think, you know, you're the zenith of morality. It's rubbish.
I never said that. I just
said we
can't be bothered to do stupid dares.
You're signposting in that direction. And you know what?
Women would never sit around a table and say, who can eat the hottest curry?
Yeah, but you're just as lurid as
men. Who can pull the most moonies? I dare you to pull a moonie. Women would never do that.
Well, I think
what's the
I
point?
I think you're talking rubbish. I think it does happen.
No. Well, you'd like to think that, but you've never seen that happen.
Well, you must be Princess of Morality. I don't think
it's not
rubbish.
About morality. It's about you can't be bothered to turn everything into a stupid competition.
Well, that's a... agree to differ on this one.
Well, I'm right.
No, you're not right. Because you have to look around you.
I'm looking around. Ask
every woman in this building tomorrow. Ask every woman. Write down five things. We'll write five dares down, Duncan.
Yeah.
And I reckon at least 40% of those dares they've either fulfilled or would like to fulfil.
Why don't we dare each other to do something now?
Okay, let's do it. I'm game.
Go on. Let someone think of something good. Is there another show going on in the studio next door?
There is. It's sport.
So we should go in there and...
Why don't you... All right, Paul. Here's a dare for you. Why don't you...
Yeah.
No, it's very juvenile.
Go on.
Why don't you...
Pull a
moonie
out of the
time. You're a man.
All of our studios have windows here.
Yeah.
Okay. And most of them look into the presenter who's facing out.
Oh, yes.
So why don't you drop your jaws while he's in the middle of talking on the radio?
I've already done it.
And pull a moonie. Who is it? Oh, it's him. Oh, that'll put him off. Go on.
I have already done it in the last couple of months.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. They're going to do it now.
To Radio Go on. City.
Go and do it
I've
now.
I've done it once. I'm not doing it again.
No!
I wouldn't do it as well to the said presenter who's
harsh.
Doing sport.
Well, why are you going to do it to the producers? Because
that's boring.
No, because I know who the producer is, and he'd probably come back and do it outside our window.
That's a good point, and it's a well-made one.
Why don't we just get him to do it out the window?
And a bit more as well.
Why don't we just get him to do it out the window of the tower?
Well, no one will see it. We're 450 feet in the air.
Well, they might. He's got quite a big
size. Mind you, that police helicopter's been buzzing around.
Might be an eclipse of the sun.
Listen, we need to go away and come back. I want to talk about hair.
Right.
Not the musical. I want to talk about hair. And also, I've got this thing about going to high school reunions. It's a little bit of an American thing going on here, but I think we can devise it for the UK. Because if you're a bloke and you want to go to a school reunion, there's some tips here on how you can score. Have you ever been to a school reunion?
No.
What about you?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you might have done. We'll come back in a few moments' time. This is Bloke Talk on the Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks. City Talk 105.9.
But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
I've said it before, and I don't mind saying it again. I just wish sometimes you could hear the conversations that went on when the microphones weren't switched on and the adverts were playing. You would be maybe surprised.
I'm getting more and more unnerved.
A little bit shocked. Laura's here. Paul Jacobs is standing in for Toby, and I'm Duncan, and it's the final chunk of Bloke Talk here on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9. I wonder that woman who we discovered last week who drives from Neston to Speak. Can't remember her name. Anyway, I wonder if she's listening this week. You know, she does a journey. She never. Paul, you weren't here last week. She misses out on the last 10 minutes of Bloke Talk. She starts her journey from Neston on the Wirral.
Right.
But then gets to her destination at Speak, which takes about 48, 49 minutes. Always loses the last 10 minutes of Bloke Talk.
Why doesn't she slow down?
That's what I said. But we thought maybe she's getting to work, seeing as she always does that journey.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Maybe she has
anyway,
to be in
if
there.
If you are listening, madam, hello. I want to talk about hair.
Go on.
Okay.
Body hair on your head.
Hair on my head.
Right.
Not hair elsewhere.
Right.
Not private hair.
Well, I didn't ask you about private hair.
Well, you asked the question hair on the head. So, hair on the head, and mine it's disappearing.
It is.
Okay. Now this is the worst.
That's because you've got lots of testosterone.
Is that what it is? Is that a fact?
It is a fact. If you have lots of testosterone, you go bald younger.
Mm.
Well, your hairline recedes.
I'm going slightly bald. No one's got more testosterone than me.
You are quite.
You don't know.
Absolutely.
You don't know that for a fact, though.
But listen, it's not about losing my hair. It's about the colour on the side because I've had to get
is
my
it
hair.
Gray?
Yeah, I'm having to. I get it shaved now. You can just see a few flicks in there. Can you see?
What flicks or what?
When you're up close.
What I do is I've number one all over the clippers. And I'm not even, I'm in my mid to late 30s, right? I'm not even 40. And I've got grey hair
That's
on the
right.
side
it's
of my head. I don't know what to do. Should I dye it?
No, it's a sign of maturity.
Yeah, but you see, I associate
grey.
Have you? Do you dye your hair then?
Nope.
Where's your grey hair?
It's solid
too. Go and have a look, Laura. Go and have a...
Oh, yeah. You've got about the same amount, you two. You've only got a few.
You ever been tempted to get it touched up?
No.
I mean,
girlfriend loves it.
Men who dye their hair, that's a bit tragic, don't you think?
Well, plenty of people do.
You are the way you are. Accept it. Go with it.
I think grey hair is nice on a man,
anyway. Think I'm heading towards an early midlife crisis, because I started to get worried about the grey hair on the side of my head, because I don't like
it.
I'm starting to think I might join a gym and lose a few pounds.
Is your bum sagging?
Nothing wrong with my bum.
Is it sagging?
I don't think so.
Have you looked?
Looked in the mirror, yeah.
Just over the shoulder after you come out of the shower. Quick check, spot check.
Spot check.
I just no, not like that. Oh, that probably helps.
Check it for spots.
Kill two birds with one stone.
Well, you've got to check yourself, haven't you?
You do. I mean, when you get out of the shower, you look at your body
what
side.
You've got to check yourself. What's your bum?
Oh, people, men like Paul and I get bombarded with messages now about checking yourself to make sure that you're right. There's no
nice. You don't have to look at your bum in the mirror.
I had to close my Facebook down.
Why?
I got some very iffy messages.
Did
when
you?
When I first came on to see, yeah, I closed it now.
Well, like fan mail, you mean?
Well, yeah. It's a bit
controversial. What suddenly
perverted.
Made you think of that?
What do you mean, what made me think of it?
Well, we were talking about checking
yourself. I don't know. Where do we get that? I'm just telling you.
No, I'm more interested in your Facebook page.
Yeah.
Well, you were making friends with people you weren't sure about and they were sending you iffy messages.
No, they were just sending it in. on the show after about 2 months, and I closed it down a month later.
What do you think it is about you then that that gets this kind of reaction?
Don't know. No idea at all.
Because I never had any messages like that. Did you ever have any messages like that when you were on Facebook?
No.
Did you have suggestive messages?
No.
Not even slightly?
No. I've concluded, when it comes, I mean, I like the fact that Bloke Talk is on Facebook, Twitter, Bebo and MySpace, but actually it requires a lot of effort, doesn't it? I shut mine down. I got bored with it. I'm on Twitter now for novelty purposes. Stephen Fry, I follow, because he follows me. Noel Edmonds. All these really pointless people, but I just get... And then they're kind of like, you've got to remember to update it.
Isn't the greatest compliment?
Boring. What?
To get a message from someone you don't know.
Are you on Twitter?
No, I'm not. No.
What's interesting about Twitter is I didn't realise there was Twitter etiquette until about 2 days ago. And if someone follows you, the polite thing is to follow them back, which I've not been doing for the last two months.
You don't have to do that.
Well,
if you look at the celebs, right, if you look at the likes of Russell Brand and Stephen Fry,
they only
follow literally about 30 people and they've got like 50,000 followers.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how good that must make them feel? 50,000 people are interested in them and they just follow 30 people.
Yeah, but have you read some of the postings? Stephen Fry goes to Lou and he writes about it. He does a Twitter entry.
But do you know what it's made me realise? How celebs have got so much time on their hands. They're sad geeks. They're updating it all the time.
Well, hang on, who's sadder? Updating it all of the time or someone like you who follows them?
Yeah.
No, because I'm not on it all the time.
Great question, Dunk.
Hello.
Yeah. So you said that I'm sad.
Answer
I'm
just
Holmes.
Floating a question.
I am sad now because you called me.
You are.
That.
Don't tell me. Do you follow a lot of celebs on Twitter?
Yeah, I think that's...
Are you following Lily Allen?
From what I can see, that's...
Are you following Lily Allen?
I am following Lily Allen. I like Lily Allen's status updates. They're quite funny.
Yeah, I like her current song.
She's good, Lily Allen, isn't she?
Yeah.
She's all of a sudden everyone seems to like her now.
Yeah.
She's quite
flavour, yeah.
She's quite pretty.
I read an interview with her a couple of weeks ago, and she had her her grandfather round for dinner. And do you know what she cooked him?
Pie and mash.
Snake.
No, I was very impressed by this. River beef. Some green beans and the old dauphinois potatoes.
Yeah. Mm.
I thought, I'll tell you what, love, if you're knocking that out night after night, you're not the woman I thought you were. I like the fact you're doing that.
You like a bit of oomph with your food, don't you? I mean, the night before last, I made myself a salad. Mm. I warmed some peaches up with cinnamon. That
That's
was my
so
salad.
Everything
salad
he says
with,
is
salad with warm peaches and cinnamon. And I learned
that's the pudding.
Peaches were in the salad.
Yeah.
No, you need a bit of cheese to offset that. You need a crumbly goatee cheese.
Well, yeah, I haven't stopped, have I yet? I had a very creamy Lancashire, actually, afterwards.
Yeah, what did you have on the
salad? I learned it because the lady I went out with a few years ago, which she's a lecturer at the Leith School of Cooking, and she taught me an awful lot. She even taught me how to debone a fish.
Was that after the creamy Lancashire person?
Jealousy will get you nowhere.
Sometimes you can have things like apple in a salad or raisin, but never peach.
You're such a philistine.
No, I'm not a philistine.
Do you experiment in your life, Laura? Do you experiment?
Do I experiment?
In all avenues of life. Are you open to experiment?
I like to try new things in life, yeah. I like to have new experiences.
Then do it with food.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that peach salad.
When you get home tonight and you're watching some telly, get a nice salad, warm up some peaches.
Yeah. When you say warm up some, peaches?
No, you've got to get fresh peaches, right?
Yeah, so...
Cut them up.
Yeah.
Right? Put them in a pan of their own syrup, their own juice.
Yeah.
Right? Sprinkle it with cinnamon and just slightly warm them up so they're not cold anymore, so they're lukewarm. And then chop them up and put them in a salad. Gorgeous.
Here's a question for you, because you like your food, Paul, and you're good with food. You're also an experienced man of the world, aren't you? I think.
Experienced.
Just worldly wise. So when it comes to, and I think you outlined quite nicely when you picked up that lady at Tillerston.
Totteridge. Tillerston. Where's Tillerston? Is that Cambridge Green?
I bet they serve warm peaches in the local pub in Tillerston. Anyway, that bird you picked up, and then 100 yards down the road, she got out of the car.
You told her she smelled. Sorry, love, you smell.
I smell your
Get
peaches,
out, you honk.
You're fit, but you smell.
And it's not just my horn. But when it comes to food, do you, when you want to impress a lady, do you cook them a meal?
Absolutely.
Does food play a part in your seduction process? Well,
absolutely, in the way it's laid out and everything.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah, what would you cook me to seduce me?
To seduce you?
Brilliant. Let's set the scene, OK? You pick Laura up from a railway station. Yeah. It could be Totterston
Lime
or Tillerston or somewhere, I don't know.
Street.
And she's in the car. She's not smelling.
She smells all right.
Okay. She smells all right. Okay. So you picked her up and you're not booted her out of the car because she smells all right. And go back to your place and you're cooking a meal. What would you cook? Talk me through the process.
Well, first I'd have to find out what kind of food you like in the first place.
Yeah, what do you like, Laura?
To be honest, I'm not a huge fan of seafood. That's the only thing I would
say. Is there any
seafood
you like?
I don't like...
Crab?
Yeah, I like crab.
Lobster?
I've never tried it.
Oh. Tuna?
Yeah, I like that. I just don't like shellfish and prawns, really.
You like sushi?
I've never really eaten it.
Well, you need to try it. You need to try it. It's wonderful.
All right, so anything else you like or dislike when it comes to food? Because obviously Paul's going to work out.
Just not a really rare steak or anything.
Well,
too bloody.
Oh, right, OK. Well, I need to save time with you because there's other things to do during the evening. So I would use my slow cooker during the day.
Oh.
I would get some lovely chunks of lamb, slow cook it during the day.
Yeah.
But at the same time, during the 4 hours it's in there, I would put in some potatoes. So when they come out, they're so soft, they melt in your mouth.
Oh.
I coat them with a bit of cream individually, the potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Individually. Won't move them around. Baby carrots.
Yeah.
I would also put in there some shallots.
Shallots.
And some basil.
Basil, come on. Basil.
Hang on, are you American?
I got the reaction I wanted there. That's perfect.
Yeah. Are you going to do a starter?
And I'm not going to do a starter, no, because I want to get straight into the main course. And then for a dessert, I'll bake you a cinnamon and apple sponge cake.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Yeah. Would you have cream with that?
I prefer custard with it. Mm. But custard, again, I like the cinnamon thing. I'll put a little bit of cinnamon in the custard.
Mm.
And that's what I do.
Do you know, that sounds lovely. I love lamb.
Wine?
Needs something quite hearty.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of body.
Got
to
a
it.
Lamb stew going on there, haven't you? Quite robust. A
lot going on.
Yeah,
what would you suggest, Duncan?
What would I have with that? Something strong and red.
Mm.
I'd go for a chocolatey, gazumping Shiraz.
Oh, yeah.
A good 14.5% bottle of red. Put hairs on your chest.
And that's it.
Can I not just have a vodka and Coke or something?
Oh.
Well, if we're on a date, I'd probably just want to get drunk.
Yeah, but you would on that stuff, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Would I?
You'd be away with the fairies after a couple of those.
Mm.
You'd be flying high. And it's only 7 steps up to my bedroom.
Oh. And
no one knows what to say.
You play Speed Scrabble, I meant.
Right, Scrabble.
Speed Scrabble. Would you play Speed Scrabble with me afterwards?
Why is it Speed Scrabble?
Because I think that is a great way to romance a woman.
Why speed scrabble?
Because it's the mental along with the physical. It's the match-up, isn't it?
What's the speed element?
Speed scrabble is you basically you put a word down and then you pull another letter out and you've got to keep on adding words all the time. It's a constant thing.
Right.
Until someone gets rid of all their letters. And I think that's really sexy. I think it's a great thing to
is
do
that,
on a date.
So
which bit's sexy about speed scrabble?
Because you're
is
learning
groping
how
around in the letter
mentally
bag?
Sharp your other half is. Isn't that not attractive that someone is mentally sharp? Do you not find that attractive that the other half is really sharp in their heads? And
so
that's
hang on,
massively attractive to me. Is it not attractive
Paul
to
Jacobs'
Laura?
Version of foreplay is a game of Scrabble.
Is it not attractive to
it's
you,
a
Laura?
It's a triple word score by the sounds of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So,
woo!
Let's just get this straight now. The Duncan Barks and Laura Holmes are one-dimensional when it comes to attracting the opposite sex, and in the physical reigns supreme and the mental means nothing. Let that be put down on record. Terrible.
No.
Broaden your horizons.
I just think there are better things you can do than...
Broaden your horizons.
The man is going to say that. It's like broaden your horizons is based around playing blooming Scrabble
speed
on a first date.
Scrabble.
Speed Scrabble.
No. I mean,
have you tried
point.
It?
I like...
Have you tried it?
Do you know what I would do?
No, have you tried it?
Well, Scrabble, yeah.
Speed Scrabble.
No.
We'll do it.
That point.
Do you know what me and Dave actually like to do together?
Twister?
We enjoy filling in a nice crossword together.
Buckaroo?
They are. I rest my point. Rest
we
my
enjoy
case.
Filling in a crossword together. We congratulate each other when someone gets a hard word.
I don't need Speed Scrabble. I don't need a crossword. Just a nice conversation. That's what you want.
You want an edgy conversation.
You want a robust, a mentally challenging conversation in a good way, not mentally challenging in a bad way.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't need the crossword. You don't need nine across.
Would you like to do a bit of mind games with it?
No, I don't like games.
Don't
like mind games. But good conversation, a good robust conversation.
Don't you think good conversation is the most important thing in a relationship?
Yes.
I agree with you. What do you think?
I think it's vital. Imperative.
It is, because you don't want to get bored of the person, do you?
Mm. And the thing
is, they look nice and smell nice.
I once had a brief relationship with a girl who was 6 years younger than me. It was not good.
Oh. Was she stupid?
She was still reading Jackie magazine.
Well, she's stupid. Oh, that's a bit harsh. But there was just nothing to talk about.
Nothing to talk about.
I'm just trying to picture.
Even you found it hard to have a conversation with her.
You'd see something on the telly or you'd listen to something on the radio and you go, God, what's all that about?
Oh, dear. How long did this last for then?
Well,
not long, obviously.
Kept it going for a couple of months, but it was over in 5 days, as far as I was concerned.
Yeah.
You can't be mucking around, can you?
No, you can't. No. She wasn't a life partner.
She was just a flash in the pan.
Yeah, anyway, you've got your soulmate now, Duncan.
Michelle was her name.
Michelle. Was she a belle?
Mm. Her parents had a gazebo.
Did she?
Yeah, in the back garden.
Was that 2 litre automatic?
No, it was one made out of bamboo and had a little bench underneath it.
I have to say, this must be one of the most random bloke talks ever.
Yeah, well, it's useful to be random, isn't it? And I take...
Well, that's the whole point of the show.
I take comfort in the fact that at some point when this radio show is being broadcast, someone will be driving along on the M62, maybe the M6, M58, because I can't find anything on the radio to listen to. They'll be hitting their search button, City Talk... Or City Talk 105.9 will pop up on the little display, and they will have just like joined this conversation maybe halfway through.
Yeah.
And we go, what the hell's going on here? Yeah. Speed Scrabble after lamb stew and a cinnamon and what sponge?
Apple.
Mm. Apple.
It's like a piece of wood, isn't it? Drifting in the Atlantic Ocean almost.
Well, this show.
But it really knows where it's going.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot. I get increasingly concerned about the murky corners of Paul Jacob's mind, though. I listen to Paul on the radio, and having him here in the studio doing bloke talk, I can only conclude that he's a complex character. Don't mean that in a negative way. People take complex in a negative way. I don't mean that at all. I just think you're complex.
He's a very a very interesting man. I've enjoyed having him here.
Mm-hmm. You tempted for the lamb stew and the...
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Toby wouldn't be able to cook something like that, would he?
No, Toby, you'd get a pasta.
Pasta bake.
And you wouldn't even get one of those stirring sauces in a jar. You'd get one of those little plastic packets.
Yeah.
Smoky bacon and tomato. And then he'd phone his mum up and go, how'd you make it? That's what you get.
To be fair,
can you wash my blanket?
The only time I went round for his house for tea was when he still only had one plate, so...
No.
Have you not heard this story? Oh, Laura went round to Toby's house for dinner and he only had one plate and one fork.
Yeah, so I had to eat first, and then he ate afterwards.
Did you not share the plate?
In fact, no. I think he ate first.
I'm just having my dinner. Hang on.
I had to take my own plate. So we ate main course at the same time. Then he ate pudding first, washed up the bowl and gave me the bowl. I mean, come on. That just takes a biscuit, doesn't it?
And school reunions, I take it we're not going to do it now.
I'll do that another time.
I'll do school reunions, maybe next week. Well, listen, Paul, it's been a revelation. Thank you. And Laura, thank you.
Thank you.
I think you got an insight into the mind of a unique and talented man.
You.
And this has been Bloke Talk on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9.
Listen, and log on to the Voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.